الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Very 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 interesting khutbah. I do hope you stick around for this, whether you're a smoker yourself or you know someone who smokes. It's very sad to see people rush to leave this masjid, man. It's like as if they're in prison. They come to the salah and the sheikh just barely said salam alaikum rahmatullah, salam alaikum rahmatullah. Half of the people are outside. Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. Our religion, the Islamic religion, calls its followers to rectify themselves and to implant the praiseworthy characteristics in the depth of their hearts, and it invites them to that which has benefit for them, and it warns them against everything which is harmful to them and may cause damage to others. This is why Islam commanded that we maintain our bodies, ourselves, and that we avoid anything which may expose it to destruction and harm. Rather, it gave severe warnings to those who may harm themselves or even some of their body parts. This is due to the fact that our bodies do not belong to us. They belong to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And some of the punishments necessitated by violating this property of Allah is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, whosoever throws himself off of a cliff of a mountain, he shall be in the hellfire throwing himself off a cliff over and over again, khalidan mukhalladan abadan. These are three terms suggesting eternity. Khalidan is enough. Mukhalladan is also enough on its own, and abadan, forever. But the three were used for emphasis. Whosoever kills himself by consuming some poison shall have that poison in his hand and will continue to kill himself over and over again, consume it in Jahannam, khalidan, mukhalladan, abadan. And whosoever stabs himself and he kills himself, then he will have this knife in his hand and he will continue to stab himself in Jahannam forever, eternally. Of course, we understand that the fact that these terms were used, because these were the relevant means of killing oneself, it does not disclude or exclude what may be existing today of means of killing oneself. It doesn't mean that shooting yourself is fine, because you say the hadith doesn't speak of shooting. Shooting wasn't popular then. So we don't want to get philosophical with the deen here. We understand, there's understanding involved. And among the great, and really a form of suicide, whether we like to admit that or not, is smoking. Because suicide can be instant, as in someone shooting themselves or jumping off a cliff or whatever. Or it could be something that one does to oneself and it takes a period of time. But the result is the same. The result is the same. I'll give you an example. Plucking the eyebrows for the woman is haram. Okay? So if she were to come and pluck them all at the same time, or every day she pulled out a hair, if the result is going to be that her eyebrows are plucked, it's haram. She may say, I take only one hair a month. Say, it doesn't matter. After a few months you will have plucked eyebrows. Another woman can do it in 5 minutes. The result is the same. Smoking is suicide, as we will see clearly inshallah. It has become widespread among the youth and the teenagers, assuming that we all know that it's already spread among the elderly. Now it's becoming more spread among the teenagers, but those who are old and smoke are not little in numbers either. In fact, they are the propagators. They are the examples to be followed. They are the ones who make it seem okay and acceptable among the Shabab. Specifically, the fathers and the mothers who smoke. It becomes very normal for the child to smoke. Because he doesn't find any resistance. His own parents are the number one, you know, service providers. And you hear about parents giving their children smoke. Now, smoking is without a doubt is something which brings about many diseases, specifically those related to the chest. And the smoker, he knows this, and he recognizes this, but his shaitan is stronger than him. Really, that's what it is. His devil is stronger than him. He beautifies this sin for him, and he tells him to procrastinate. You know, leave it by then. Later on in life, you will quit. But you know, that usually never happens. And if you ask any smoker who has a cigarette in his hand, between his fingers, if you were to categorize this as طيبة, is it from the طيبات? Because we know we have two things concerning the consumption of products and what have you. It's either طيب or خبيث. It's either good or it's filthy. It's bad. Good or bad. You ask any smoker, if you had to categorize smoking under طيبات or خبائث, 99%, I've come across some philosophers, myself, who try to say that it's one of the طيبات. Otherwise, most of them are genuine and honest enough to say, yes, it's a خبيثة. It's evil. It's bad. They will give you other reasons why they smoke, but they will admit that we cannot say it's good in and of itself as a product. So he will answer you automatically, and that it doesn't benefit him really, nor does it benefit anyone else. In fact, it's a nightmare which has overtaken him. It's a heavy weight on his chest, which produces all kinds of agony and harm and sadness. And sufficient for you is that most people who smoke wish they can quit. Most smokers don't wish they could quit, but they often reach a point where they can't quit, or at least they think that they can't quit. We ask Allah to alleviate their calamity and to accept their repentance. The Shaykh said, if we were to reflect on some of the noble ayat in the Quran, we will find that it is clear in calling to that which is beneficial and inviting us to avoid all that which is harmful. For example, Allah says, وَلَا تَتَبَدَّلُ الْخَبِيثَ بِالطَّيِّبِ. Do not replace that which is good with that which is bad. In another ayah, when Allah wanted to describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his description according to the people of the book, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. He makes lawful. Now this is very interesting. And this is this one of the strongest evidences you can present to a smoker who tells you, give me an ayah from the Quran. This is the average philosopher among the Muslims. Give me an ayah that says smoking is haram. Give me hadith. Say la ilaha illallah. And you want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to work according to your standards? Or do you work according to Allah's standards? It's the other way around. When Allah revealed the deen 1400 years ago, He set down laws which apply until Yawm al-Qiyamah. You will not find an ayah and a hadith for everything which will come into existence. Otherwise, according to you, there should be a hadith that says, do not sniff cocaine, and do not smoke marijuana, and do not smoke crack, and do not take... What do you want? You can drive a car, you can ride a plane, you can ride a bike. Is that how you want the deen? Everything that comes up, you want an ayah, hadith specific, customized for you? No. One ayah, one hadith will include millions of matters from the time of revelation until Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is one of them. Yuhillu, from which word? Yuhil, what does it remind you of? Halal, halal. This is the present tense. And the pronoun here is referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yuhillu lahum, he makes lawful for them at-tayyibat, the good. Now listen to the next word. Wa yuharrimu, which word does it remind you of? Haram. يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ He makes haram for them every khabitha. Every bad product is haram per this ayah. So anything which will harm the people, from the time this ayah was revealed until the end of time, and they will invent other things. They will invent other things if they are harmful, ultimately harmful, and there's no benefit, or the benefit or the harm is greater than the benefit, it's haram per this ayah. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ had said in the hadith, and this is another comprehensive fundamental ruling, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, subhanAllah. He was known as the one who was given Jawami'ul Kalim. The English rendering of that, and these are good vocabulary for us in da'wah, are two words. Concision from the word concise, and precision from the word precise. Precise is saying exactly what you intend on saying, and not shifting left or right. Meaning using the exact term for the most suitable definition. Because sometimes we don't do that. We say words that we shouldn't have been said, and there's a better word. Concise is saying it in small number of words with many meanings. Instead of using a whole sentence for something, you can say one word which does the job. And it's important to learn some of these words. It helps in da'wah. He was concise and precise. Concision and precision. He said four words. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. There shall be no harm. The understood meaning is to oneself. ولا ضرار, and no reciprocation, no harm to others. Anything which harms you or harms others is haram because of this one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Now how many things can you include? We cannot count them. Uncountable number of things can be understood. If it's going to harm you, even for example someone who's diabetic, and if eating this cheesecake is going to harm him, it becomes haram for him. Now for everybody else it's tayyibat. Cheesecake is okay, in case you love cheesecake. Alhamdulillah. But if in your physical condition, your medical condition, if this is going to harm you directly, it becomes haram for some individuals, not for everyone else. And there are things which are haram because they themselves are khabitha, like cigarettes, like tobacco. As we will see as we continue. Allah Azza wa Jalla had even said, and among the harms of smoking, and He will mention many of them, is the great harm which is produced because of it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, eat and drink. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. But do not go to extremes. Do not be extravagant. Do not exceed the limits. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah does not love them. Now we have become so dead in our hearts, in our iman, that even if we hear Allah saying, Allah doesn't love some people, say, مَا فِي مُشْكِلَة. But Allah is saying that if you go to extremes, if you go beyond what He made as the limit, Allah will not love you. We have reached the point where we say, no problem. Who cares? Allah ghafoor raheem. But Allah told you He doesn't love these kinds of people. This is because iman is weak. Love of the dunya is strong. Favoring the dunya, it takes precedence over the akhirah. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You prefer the life of this world. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But the life to come is better and more lasting. But little or few are those who understand really. Those who really understand and act upon it will be a minority today among the Muslims. Most people don't care who Allah loves or who doesn't Allah love. In fact, most people don't know which ayat speak about who are the people whom Allah loves and those whom Allah doesn't love. Even though we should learn them, strive to have these qualities. Acquiring Allah's love, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah musta'an, not everyone, alhamdulillah, there's many good going on in the ummah today, but there's a minority who need, you know, we all need to fix ourselves up a little bit. These are some of the narrations. Now, the noble brothers, here goes some of the harmful effects of smoking. Number one, wastage of money. And spending it in a manner which is unlawful and is haram. This is besides the fact, and this is very important for those who understand, this is besides the fact that this money is not only going out of our pockets, it's going to the pockets of our enemies. Yani when Muslims and as a ummah consume, smoke, cigarettes, every time we buy these things, not only we're losing this money spending in haram, no, it's also going to those who will use this money to fight the Muslims eventually. Yani not only you're harming yourself and the people around you, but your harm goes to the extent that those people, that some Muslims may die 20 years from now because of your purchasing of a pack of cigarettes. That's wild. But people do that. Ask the one who consumes smoke, how many riyals does he spend on it a day? And he may be poor, and this is the most common thing. He may be poor looking for the food and drink for his day. Most, you know, most smokers are people who themselves need a single riyal. They will work 10 hours for 100 riyals, but they have no problem spending half of it on cigarettes. It's one of the most amazing contradictions in a human being. All the effort you make so you can spend it on smoking at the end of the day. And if he were to use this money, and he may be in debt, if he were to use this money to pay back the money which he owes to the people, or to help someone who's less blessed than him in provision, then he would have attained from Allah a lot of reward, a lot of goodness, and a lot of forgiveness. But Allah musta'an. Now this was the wastage of money. Secondly, the physical harm, which is great and dangerous. The doctors have confirmed and declared often and often that smoking harms your body and it harms your health, and that it kills more than 4 million people every year. 4 million people every year die as a result of smoking, directly or indirectly. And it's among the number one reason, or among the main reasons behind someone having cancer, lung cancer. Now you need to be a doctor to translate all of these medical terminology, but I will try my best. I may know some, may miss some. Saratan al-ri'a is breast cancer or lung cancer. Waltihabiha infection. The throat cancer. Zakallahu khair. Mouth cancer. Having a difficult time breathing, or you know, short breath, fast heartbeat, the person's heartbeat will increase, high blood pressure, along with the veins and the arteries of the heart being clogged, so the circulation of the blood is not normal, losing one's appetite, some stomach diseases, and some acid reflection in the stomach. Depression, worry, distress, laziness, and being very moody. Along with being, quick to become angry. They get upset very fast. And usually what do? When someone receives bad news, you see the smoker, when he receives bad news or he's upset, what does he refer to? Cigarette. Actually, that's the only benefit that the smokers will ever quote to you. If you ask a smoker, what is the only thing that is you're benefiting from the cigarette? He tells you, it keeps me, gives me a good mood. When I'm mad, I relax. We tell him this is shirk. Tell him this is shirk. Instead of depending on Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, to relieve your stress, you're depending on a cigarette, this is shirk. So the only benefit that they quote is actually the epitome of shirk. It's the example and the manifestation of shirk. Because Allah said, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. It is with the remembrance of Allah that hearts find satisfaction, not in a cigarette. And the cigarette is from the shaitan. So really what the person is saying, I only become relaxed when I and my shaitan have a good time together smoking a cigarette. Otherwise, I can't be relaxed. Say, brother, this is an indication that your iman is terrible. Where is the reliance upon Allah at the time of difficulty? The Prophet ﷺ used to run for salah. When some news came to him and you run for a cigarette, That shows you the huge difference between you and the Messenger of Allah, whom you claim to follow, to be part of his ummah, on his footsteps. A lot of talk, but nothing is implemented. Then these people have insomnia, or the lack of sleep. They cannot sleep at night, and weak vision. Alhamdulillah, don't worry about that. It's not because of smoking. And other diseases. That anyone who has, you know, a grain of intellect, just a small tiny grain of intellect, will tell you that only one of these problems is sufficient for you to stop smoking. Let alone all of them combined. All of these coming together combined. So the Shaykh said, the doctors have further mentioned that most of these problems are a result of a single substance which is poisonous, found in cigarettes. It's nicotine, as you all know. In fact, it's amazing, the companies which produce and manufacture, or whatever term you would use, cigarettes, they write on the box, warning, smoking is harmful to your health, or smoking causes cancer, we advise you to quit. And he struck an example, I thought it was my invention, it turned out that everybody knew this example beforehand, alhamdulillah, that you bring to the smoker, you tell him, listen man, and the Shaykh used candy, I usually use a bottle of water, no problem, I'll use the Shaykh's quote or example. If someone gave you a candy, nice chocolate, nice, you know, wrapper, and it's adorned and everything, and he told you, go ahead and eat this, but it's going to cause you cancer, will you eat it? You will not eat it. No one in his sound mind, they were selling you water in the store, ruz, you know, you buy rice, and it says this rice has, you know, 2.5% poison. If you eat 10 bags, you will die. Who's going to eat rice? You will not. You will even go to the owner of the store, say, how are you selling these people this rice? Are you crazy? But smoking, ma fi mushkila. The buffet, whatever they call it. A place where you're supposed to buy sandwiches, they sell cigarettes. Did you know that? Most of them. I couldn't believe it. Yani out of all the place, a place for food, they made sure that cigarettes are involved in their business because they're money worshippers. Making, you know, some profit from sandwich which is halal is not enough. Haram must be included somewhere to make more money. Money worshipping. Ta'isa abdu dinar wa dirham. Rasulullah said, wretched is the worshipper of the dinar, the currency. He will never be happy. Always trying to make more money. Halal, haram, it doesn't matter. Cigarettes. And this is one of the most dangerous ones, and you will see why. Dararun ishtima'i. Social harm. The harm of smoking do not affect the person or the smoker alone. Rather, it encompasses everyone who's around him, beginning with the angels on the right and on the left. And the Prophet ﷺ had said concerning the one who eats garlic and onions, and he comes to the masjid, and at that time they used to kick them out of the masjid and send them to the graveyard. The application of the hadith at the time of the Messenger of Allah, that if someone came with garlic or onion coming out of his mouth, they wouldn't just say, Barakallahu fik, don't do this again. He will be kicked out of the masjid, not told to wait outside, he's sent to stay in the graveyard with the dead. Because this is where he belongs. And basal and thum are halal. What about cigarettes, which stink way more than garlic and onions? In fact, garlic and onions smell delicious and lovely if you were to compare them to someone who smells like an ashtray. And they come to the masjid and they harm people around them. And every time they say, Sami'a Allahu liman hamid, they say, Rabbana wa lakal hamd, you wish that Allah will make the earth open and swallow them. Because you have to now smell from his nasty mouth all the stink of the cigarettes, which in the salah is harming you and the malaika. But they don't care. We ask Allah to rectify our condition and theirs and guide us to that which is pleasing to him. The angels are harmed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَ. The angels are harmed by the same thing which harms the children of Adam. Yani when that which harms the people, if something harms the people, it will automatically harm the angels. That means that smoking will harm the angels first. Secondly, it will people now, as for the children of Adam, this harm has chased them into the offices, into the grocery stores, into the cars, into the airplanes, even at the doors of the masajid. How, the Shaykh said, how do you find it acceptable within yourself to blow smoke in the face of people? How do you find it feasible as a Muslim to stand in front of people? And this is the thing that amazes me the most. That someone will go to a bagala, which is a small place, relatively speaking, or Danube, or Panda, or wherever. They go in an area where there are other people around, and children. And they have no reservation, no second thoughts about smoking in front of everyone and harming everyone in the process with them. And not only that, they are so evil that if you try to advise them, very few are those who listen. In fact, they will turn around and say, it's none of your business. What do you want? And they may ignore you, continue to smoke. Ajib. The carelessness and the lack of consideration to the Muslims. It's haram for you to raise your voice while reciting the Quran in the masjid. If the brother next to you will be distracted by your recitation of the Quran, it's haram. Because it falls under Iza'ul Muslimin, harming the Muslims. If reciting the Quran could be haram, if it's going to harm a believer in his salah, then what about smoking and forcing them to smoke with you? Totally unacceptable. And let me add something from my end. This person does not realize that this part doesn't fall under forgiveness. Yani, if he was to smoke at home and only harm himself and then repent to Allah, his situation is done. But when you smoke amongst other people, now you are doing zulm, wronging the people. And we know from the deen that when you wrong someone and you don't do anything to rectify it in the dunya, then he will take away from your good deeds on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So everyone who's ever harmed by a smoker can come on the Day of Judgment and say, give me back the oxygen, give me back the fresh air which Allah created, which you deprived me of and my children. And he will never be able to give it back. So then his good deeds will be taken away, placed on those whom he smoked around. Then when he runs out of good deeds because he smoked around so many people, their evil deeds will be taken from them, placed on him, and he will be thrown in Jahannam. The same way he was litting the fire in the dunya, he will be lit in the fire in the life to come. This fire will bring you to that fire. Don't think smoking is a picnic or it's something that is minor in the deen. You're talking about harming yourself and Muslims, and that you cannot run away from. That you cannot run away from. This is besides the public sinning, which is an indication that the person doesn't fear Allah, nor does he have respect to the people. You don't respect the people. Who cares what they think? I'm just going to smoke. No consideration for human beings, let alone Muslims who live in this country. The Shaykh said, and the person does this, and he has his wife and children. And you see these people smoking in the car, and the children are right next to him, and behind him, his wife is sitting right next to him. They just don't care. Ruining the atmosphere and the environment for the people around them, they just don't care. Doesn't your wife, the Shaykh said, have the right to smell something nice of you? And he said, imagine if you went to bed to sleep on the same bed with your wife, and she slept in the same clothing she was wearing when she was frying some onions. Doesn't the smell of fried onions, you know, repel you? Will you not scream at her? Say, go change your clothes, you stink. So why do you do this to her? He said, some people before they sleep, they recite Ayatul Kursi, Al-Mu'awwidhatan, and they remember Allah, and some people, the last thing before they sleep is they puff on a cigarette. Then they go sleep next to their wives, and you know, it's just, you know, lack of consideration. Studies have proven that smoking a single cigarette, or, sorry, being in the presence of someone who's smoking a single cigarette will give you the harm of smoking half a cigarette. And if you hang out with someone who's smoking a whole cigarette, from what you inhale, it's equivalent to you smoking half a cigarette even though you didn't smoke anything. Just being in their company. Being in their company. He said, these are some of, and there are many more, but the time doesn't allow. These are some of the harms and the calamities behind smoking, social, health-wise, and financial. So can these smokers provide us with a single benefit, or even part of a benefit, which may be able to compete with all these harms? I think the answer is no. Among the reasons behind the spread of smoking are the followings, and he will be summarizing them. First, the whispers of the shaitan. The whispers of the shaitan. The shaitan wants to destroy us one way or another. And the truth of the matter is, every smoker is a submitter in this sense. Not saying he's not a Muslim, he's a submitter to the shaitan. And the way to prove this is, you can say to a smoker the following. This is home tested. It will work, inshallah. Tell the smoker, listen man, if we were to have a boxing match, you know, we bring a ring, and you and a cigarette were to box, who do you think will knock out the other? Do you think the cigarette will be able to punch you and knock you out? Or do you think you can go like this to the cigarette and you'll break it in two? Say, no, of course I can break it in two. See? So you can stop smoking. You just don't want to. He says, I can't. You're a liar. Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will never burden you with a sin which you cannot leave alone. We have an element of choice. And the biggest, and tell him to increase, to tell the smoker, listen, if I were a doctor and I did some studies on your blood and heart and lungs and whatever, and I came to the conclusion that if you were to smoke one more cigarette, you will die. Will you smoke? But Allah told you before, لا تقتلوا أنفسكم, don't kill yourselves, but you don't listen to Allah. If a doctor told you you may lose your life, you will quit smoking instantly. If Allah tells you don't kill yourself, say no problem, I will continue to do what I want. You don't really fear Allah? And if a doctor told you to quit smoking, trust me, suddenly you will have the irada, the determination, the strength and the power to quit smoking instantly. You will not delay. If the doctor told you, you will die. But now that I'm telling you for the sake of Allah, oh, I can't. Brother, I can't. I'm weak. I. Excuses. One should be able to quit smoking instantly. Secondly, among the other reasons of why smoking has become widespread are evil companions. Be careful of evil companions. Be careful who your children are hanging out with. Parents, we want to trust our children, but there are limits for the trust. Don't just believe everything they say. Why? Because the whole society, the whole world is out to get them. Everyone is trying to attack them. They're human beings. They may surrender. Evil companions are among the main reasons why people become smokers. They hang out with them. And he was thirdly, blind following and curiosity. Yeah, I just want to try things. I just want to see how it feels. So you find that these people, you know, they look at, instead of learning the beneficial history of other nations, they want to imitate the other nations and the evil things which they do. So they imitate, you know, some famous player, some famous actor. He smokes, they want to smoke like him and use the same brand. If he smoked Marlboro, they want to smoke Marlboro. They want to imitate them in everything they do. As if in the Prophet ﷺ isn't an enough or sufficient example to be followed for us to follow actors and singers and losers. Fourthly, these coffee shops. And here on Arba'een there's one, two, I believe they're just on Arba'een, just across from us, there are like two or three that are the propagators. And look how nice they make the design. Such a cozy, you know, they make it like, modern decoration and, you know, dim lights and big screen TV, attracting the people. And they have a place, you know, they call VIP. And most people don't know that VIP very often means very ignorant person. Very few times a VIP is a very important person. In today's life, most of the time when you see VIP, you can already automatically assume it's a very ignorant person whom the people made important. Otherwise, the only VIPs are the scholars. That's it. Everybody else is mashi halak. VIP, huh? So these shabab go there and they smoke this shisha and the cigarette. And they just don't care. They just want to collect money. Their only objective is to collect money. Fifthly, fathers or people who are supposed to be in charge or leaders, as in, you know, like a teacher or whatever, professor, these people who themselves smoke, and yet they want to tell their children not to smoke. They smoke and they tell the people not to smoke. The Shaykh said, begin with yourself first. Sixthly, weak iman, lack or weakness in one's religious commitment. Otherwise, if we feared Allah, shway, we'll be ashamed to disobey Allah with the money He gave us, with the body He gave us, in front of Him, right under His supervision, and harm the Muslims at the same time. If iman was there, you will never be able to do it. Iman can be so strong that, like the man, the three men who were locked up in the cave, when he was standing or sitting from this woman, his cousin, whom he loved dearly, he was in a position of a man with a woman, which is the last stage. When she reminded him of Allah, she said, "Ittaqillah." He got off of her, and he told her to go and gave her the money. This is the taqwa of Allah in such situation. What about smoking? It should be the iman. If it was lesser than that, it will tell you, how do you smoke in front of Allah? How do you harm these poor Muslims around you who hate to smoke? Some of them are too shy to tell you to stop, and some of them will get on your case. Then you don't care about them. Seventhly, the media, which, you know, amazing. Have you ever seen any advertisements, you know, commercials for smoking? What do they bring? They bring like some, you know, muscular men, huh? Big muscular men, mashallah, just came out of the gym with some ladies in bikinis, and they put them at the beach, and then, you know, they're having a good time smoking Newports, you know, cigarettes. What a lie! And does smoking get you to become a muscular man? Or does it really put you in shape? I mean, smoking is going to kill you. So they bring, they lie to the people like, you're cool, right? And this is the shabab. You see them outside the school down the street. Now every day I come back from work, when I go by the school, every day now, in the mutawasita, in the intermediate school, as soon as these shabab go out, all of them, half of them are smoking cigarettes. Most of them don't even know how to grab the cigarette with their fingers. They think they're cool, but they don't even know how to grab it. This is the fake stuff that they learn from the media. The media, be careful. It's your enemy at times. Slaves of Allah. The Shaykh said, there's something which we must mention here. The same way smoking is haram, so is buying it, selling it, and importing it. Or exporting it for this matter. Because it is haram wealth. And the Prophet ﷺ had said, if Allah prohibits a product or something upon the people, then also its value is haram. Its value becomes haram. So then, dealing, trading, doing business with cigarettes is haram. If you have a shop, if you have a store, it's haram for you to sell it. It's haram for you to buy it. It's haram for you to smoke it. All of them are haram. Not only one aspect of it. Not only one aspect of it. And if you know it's haram, and you continue to sell it, now you have another violation resembling the Jews, whom when Allah made the fat of animals prohibited upon them, they melted it, then they sold it, and they said that this is fine. Allah cursed them because of this twisted way of doing things. So the one who actually knows it's haram and continues to sell it is now disobeying Allah and resembling the Jews, and claiming that this is fine, this is haram wealth. The one then is selling it have these two crimes. The Shaykh said, fear Allah, O slaves of Allah, and remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that, you know, I'm just going to give you the summary of it, that fear Allah Azza wa Jal, and know that no soul will die until it receives its full provision. No one will be taking less than what Allah had decreed for him in the early on. So if do not leave that which is halal and consume that which is haram. The last page of the khutbah, no worries, inshallah, we're almost done. Listen to these statistics, which are really disheartening. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is the fourth country in the world in the consumption of smoke and cigarettes among its residents and the expatriates. The fourth country in the whole world. Think about Brazil, Argentina, the States, Canada, Britain, where these are the lands of corruption. which we know them as the lands of corruption and disbelief, the kingdom is the fourth in the world in terms of expatriates and local people who consume cigarettes. Nothing to be proud of. The number of smokers in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia has exceeded 6 million smokers. And he said these statistics are old. He is sure that this has been increased by now. The smokers burn up yearly 120 million riyals. 120 million riyals worth of tobacco. If we were to collect this money and use it to, you know, fix up the Muslim world, we will be done in 1 year. In 1 year, our problems will be solved, our economy will be rising, all of the problems we had will be resolved. 1 year. But no. No. And we must give it to them so they can kill us with it one day or someday. 99 tons of tobacco are consumed by the residents and the expatriates of Saudi Arabia daily, which is equal to 33 million riyals daily. 33 million Saudi riyals daily are being used for smoke, which is destroying the economy. The price of a pack of cigarettes in Saudi Arabia is considered among the cheapest in the world. Anywhere else, by the way, cigarettes cost a lot more. It's very cheap here. 2 riyals, 3 riyals, you'd be shocked. You know, it's like food in Tamiz. It's supposed to be a little more expensive. Elsewhere, it's sold for $5. Back in that other wicked country, the pack of cigarettes was 5, then they raised it to 7.5. You know how much is that? 7 riyals is 7 times almost 4, that's around 25 riyals. Because it's 375. $1 is 375 halalas. That's 25 riyals worth of pack of cigarettes. You get it here for 4 or 5 riyals. Why? Because the enemies have an objective. Lower the price for the Muslim youth so we can destroy them and exterminate them quicker. But we don't believe. We think, oh, these people of that are always saying, plot against us. You know, it's not like that. They don't care. Believe me, they care. This is some of their objectives. Because they're afraid of Muslims. Everywhere in the world, they're afraid of Muslims. How do they get rid of Muslims? They can't get rid of the Quran. Allah has preserved it. They can't get rid of the Sunnah. Allah has preserved it. What do they do? Get rid of good people. So no one will live up to the Quran and the Sunnah, and they can have fun back home. They don't even have to deal with us. And we, by allowing our children to be victimized, we are actually part of the process of destroying Islam, whether we do it knowingly or unknowingly. That's why the children need to be on a whole other level. No PlayStation, no Nintendo, no soccer, no cricket, no nothing. If they want to play sports, no problem. Sports is part of your well-being. Allah loves the strong believer. I'm not saying don't play sports. But don't let your son or daughter become a product in the hands of the disbelievers. Their whole life is which team won and which team lost. And when the finals are, when the quarterfinals are, and you know, this singer, that actor, this TV, this gadget, no. If we allow them to lead this life, we are helping in destroying Islam. If we were to turn the tables around and raise children that are upright on the deen, their main goal and objective is learning Islam, teaching Islam and living up to Islam, we could make a change in this whole ummah. But where are the parents who understand? We understand the speech, but when we go back home, we fail to imply it and apply it. We really need to start application. This poor son is going to be attacked when he reaches the age of discretion by the whole world. If you don't prepare him for the fight, he will lose from day one. Look at them outside. We have 10 million 50 cents now. 10 million rappers in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Hat sideways, big baggy pants, you know, cigarette popping out of his mouth. You think this person just came from Los Angeles? He's never been outside Jeddah. Never been outside Jeddah. Doesn't even know what a plane looks like. When he sits on a plane, he starts shivering. Never flew anywhere. But he's the super cool guy, just down the street from us. We have thousands of them now. How? The kuffar all the way from back home, they send us a rapper through the satellite dish, and they do the job. He doesn't, 50 halalas or 50 cents, doesn't have to come here and give us a concert to have a million followers. He does it all the way from his wicked place where he is right now. We did not raise our children to be able to fight back, to be able to find dignity in Islam, not in every Tom, Dick and Harry. We are responsible. I hope we change our ways. More statistics. The United States of America had produced in the year 2000, that's 11 years ago, 10 million tons of cigarettes. 10 million tons of cigarettes. Medical reports have proven that the smoking is the gateway to drugs. You know, people start wanting to satisfy themselves with cigarettes, then it's no longer satisfactory enough, then they start trying other things. So if someone wants to become a drug addict, then the pathway, the beginning, the door, the entrance is smoking a cigarette. Be careful for the shabab. They may be, caught up in this. Furthermore, it has proven that in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, according to studies, all those who are drug addicts now, they began by smoking first. Almost all those who are addicts, drug addicts now, it first began with cigarettes before they reached what they have reached today. The Sheikh said, if you were to take the amount of nicotine which is found in one cigarette, and you were to put it in one shot into a human being, it would kill him instantly. If you were to get the raw nicotine and pump it straight into the blood of someone, it will kill him instantly. But of course it goes through the lungs. You have a lot of things which Allah created which try to defend you. Which try to defend you before it reaches that point. Otherwise, the amount of poison in nicotine is enough to kill you. It is enough to know that there are 4,000 kind of different chemicals in a single cigarette. 4,000 different harmful chemicals in a single cigarette. Shisha, which some people say is halal, so because you speak about, you know, cigara, huh? The cigarette, shisha is okay. One shisha is equal to 55 cigarettes. You know how much smoke you're inhaling with this big old bong and big old, you know, tube? Or how much smoke, how much can you get from one cigarette? If you were to smoke the whole cigarette in one breath, you will not be able to get what you get in one inhalation or inhaling of from the big shisha. And you see the people blow out, you know, tons of smoke. Where does this goes in the lungs? One shisha is equal to 55 cigarettes. And it is known for causing that diseases to spread. Contagious diseases. In the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, 45% of men smoke who are over 15. Half of the country of, you know, the people, the expat, we're not meant, you know, everyone who lives here, 45%. And now even among women, 3%. It has raised to 3% among women. Women usually can't handle it as good. Tobacco is the only legal product, and we don't mean Islamically legal, we mean, you know, universally according to the standards of the country's legal, not Islamically legal, but legal as in it's not like drugs. It's the only legal product which is allowed in all countries of the world that kills half of its consumers. Yani they tell you any country, no drugs, no marijuana, no hashish, nothing, all this is forbidden, but smoking is allowed even though it kills half of its consumers. Subhanallah al-Azim, ajeeb. The ulama have given the fatwa that smoking is haram. Because you find some, you know, people who don't have enough knowledge who say it's makruh. And they don't realize that the fatwa of makruh was like back at the Turkish, the Turkish days when cigarettes first came out. And the scholars did not know yet the harmful effects of smoking on the body because no studies were made. The only thing they found that it was disgusting in smell. And so they said it's like onions and garlic. So in qiyas, they said that it's makruh. But after the studies were made and the doctor saw the harmful effect, no scholar in his right mind, unless he's a smoker, will tell you that smoking is halal. All the ulama of the kingdom and elsewhere have unanimously agreed that it's haram. And we not ulama as in real ulama, not someone who himself smokes and so he wants to give you the fatwa according to his problems, or someone who's not a alim but the people categorize as a alim. And among the last statistics, we're almost done, hang in there. According to the Health World Organization, there are 4.9 million people who die every year of smoking. That's the average of a person dying every 7 seconds. Every 7 seconds, someone dies because of cigarettes. So, and the poor countries and the rich countries together lose 2,000 or 20,000 million riyals yearly because of smoke. So, in conclusion, smoking is a disaster that affects the smoker, his family, the Muslims around him, the economy, the Muslim ummah at large, and it serves the enemies directly and puts money right in their pocket. Wallahi, ya brothers, if we had iman that was enough to make us realize that one day we will stand before Allah and be asked about our body, what we did with it, our money, where we spent it, and what we did with the revelation, if we had enough iman which will make us believe with certainty in that, we will quit smoking today. And anyone who smokes here, wallahi, you can quit smoking today. Don't let the shaitan take you left and right that you can't and you need, and all this is nonsense. Remember that if a doctor told you one more cigarette you will die, believe me, you will not smoke it. Because we love life. Now Allah is telling you, don't kill yourself. If you love Allah, listen to Him. The first few days, there's going to be a struggle. Because the nicotine will ask in your body for some. Get busy. Get a chewing gum. Get a siwak. Do something else. The first few days, your body will react for the lack of nicotine. Then afterwards, khalas. It's done. Inshallah, you will never have to smoke again. So let us do this, inshallah. And if we have relatives that smoke, do let them listen to this khutbah translation, which you will find, inshallah, on onewaytoparadise.net within the next couple of days. Do let them listen to it. And do advise those who smoke. If everyone in this masjid, every time we saw a smoker smoking, we stopped him, we will be able to change a big part of the community. The problem is, only a few speak. And many are too shy. Don't be shy. This is your right. Allah gave you this right to breathe fresh air. Anyone who deprives you, tell him, my brother, Allah allowed me to breathe fresh air. With you smoking in this place, I can no longer do this. Please stop smoking. The airports are doing it. And inshallah, we hope that soon enough, it will be banned everywhere. The only place someone will be able to smoke is on, you know, Jupiter. Not on Earth. But until then, we ask Allah's facilitation. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.